and welcome to another edition of The Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas, from New York City. On your left there, Mr. David Paxton. He is my usual co-host. And right there in the middle, and believe it or not, that is Mark Sutherland. He is joining us all the way from the United Kingdom. He is a Christian filmmaker, and we're going to be talking a lot to him today about just what he does. He's got a bunch of great projects going on. We talked a little bit in the last show about a movie that he made. It's a short film, and Mark, it's only like 10 minutes long, and the first time I watched it, you know, I got into it so much. I mean, I was taken by this film, and I was watching it, and all of a sudden it ended. I was like, wait, it can't be over yet. There's no way that's over. That's got to be the trailer. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be a trailer. And I asked him, and he said, no, you know, if you give me $5 million, I'll finish it. So you guys out there,
donations right below.
Yeah, start a GoFundMe or something, because this thing's got to be finished. It was awesome, and you know, I really encourage you guys to go. Mark, tell us again the name of the movie, and go a little bit more into it if you don't mind, because you know it reminds me so much of the administration that, well, I should say it this way.
Up until the
current shadow administration.
Up until the Obama administration, and I'm not getting political here, guys. Don't think I am.
No, because
I'm going to hit both sides. So be ready. But up until the Obama administration, when a president issued an executive order, it was about something that I would say probably 90% of the country agreed with. You know, it's something that you needed to get done, and you didn't have time for Congress, and maybe Congress would come in later and, you know, ratify whatever he said. And then when the Obama administration ended, Trump did the same thing. And when that administration ended, then Biden did the same thing. And what they were doing is just picking out their pet projects or slapping the administration before them or whatever. Okay, but anyway, I just call it an abuse of power. And whenever you view the film that Mark made back in what was it, 2016?
2015.
Yeah. Whenever you view that, apply it to 2023, because you're going to find out it fits. So anyway, Mark, if you would, just tell us a little bit about it. What inspired it, and how long did it take you to make it? Just as whatever. I personally would love to know more about the film.
Well, no, that's very kind of you, and I appreciate anyone that asks me about my work in all sincerity, because when you make something and then you put it out in there in the public space, it's always an honor that people will watch your work, read your work, etc. But it was made in 2014. I got behind it because I wanted to produce it, because I felt it was relevant in regard to where I felt our world was going. I read a book by Pamela Geller called The Post-American President, which was about Barack Hussein Obama, and her commentary on where America was at that time when she wrote that book, I think 2012-13, I think. And so it was a critique, understandably, on Obama's presidency. So how long did it take to make? It was about 3 days, but took a year to try and edit. And when you're doing things on the shoestring, that's why. But passionate about that. But here's the tie-in, and I'm deliberately want to say this. Here's the tie-in. You very kindly paid me a compliment to say that it's relevant now. Absolutely. And I will be political. I will be political deliberately, because I'm involved in this. So on Jan 6, 2021, thousands, if not a million plus patriots, went to Washington, D.C. to take their constitutional right seriously. They were questioning the election result. And there is no doubt about it. There was voter fraud all over. All of that evidence has been coming out. But you have had voter fraud in your system for many, many years. A book called Hacked was written in 2006, talking about the dye bulb machines, talking about the computerization and of that, and the abuse of your system. So January the 6th, people went along. We then had people calling it an insurrection and all the rest, and five patriots died that day: Roseanne Boylan, Benjamin Phillips, Kevin Greeson, Ashley Babbitt, and Officer Signick died. Officer Signick was not beaten with a fire extinguisher. He died because of, basically, he had health issues, had a heart attack, mm-hmm. Afterwards, but the fact that he was ignored, his health issues were ignored by fellow police officers on that particular day. Bird shot Ashley Babbitt. Now, why am I saying that link between my film and what happened on Jan 6? It's a complete abuse of the American Constitution. You have in your country, you have political prisoners. We have had Enrico Torrio, who is head of the Proud Boys, given a 22-year sentence for not even for, you know, an insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. He wasn't even in Washington, D.C., wasn't even there. We've got Joe Biggs being given a 17-year sentence. There are many others. Now, I sit on the board. I am saying this as a plug. I sit on the board of a book called The American Gulag Chronicles. It's a coffee table book. That book was created to raise money for the J6 prisoners. I ask people to look that up, the AmericanGulagChronicles.com. Look it up and buy the book. It support the families. Why am I saying this? We in this country are now seeing a laws coming in to censor us in regard to how we use the internet, etc., etc. Right. That will be coming to America. It's coming to other European countries. In other words, it has taken months. It's taking a very close friend of mine, David Summerall from StopHate.com, who's been front and center of the J6 stuff, to expose what's going on. He went through the thousands of hours of video that McCarthy, when he was leader of the House, said he's going to release. David was ahead of the curve on all of this because he was working for people in regard to helping to get evidence for people's legal cases. Now, we have had you've got a weaponization of the FBI. My film talks about a suspension of the Constitution. There is a feature film script. It talks about how one man, Daniel Alesso, yes, it alludes to Daniel in the Old Testament standing up against the authorities. And on Jan 6, patriots went along to exercise their constitutional rights. There was no violence. The violence started at four, by patriots. The violence started at 1:04 when Ted Cruz and others on the floor of the House were questioning, appealing. They were having that conversation with Mike Pence. They were asking the fact that really the vote should be sent back to the states to go back, you know, from the Electoral College to go back to the states to be recounted. Oh, no, 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 no. We're just going to change the way we do things. And then, of course, you've had Nancy Pelosi go, this is an insurrection, blah, blah, blah. You then had that ridiculous, appalling commission led by Adam Shifty and all this, and the persecution of Americans. I'm going to say this deliberately again. The book is called American Gulag Chronicles because it's named after Alexander Solzhenitsyn from Gulag Archipelago. In 1978, Solzhenitsyn was on the steps of Congress warning America about, if you do not pay attention to what's going on, you will then basically become a Marxist state. In 1963, into the congressional record, the 45 points of communism were put into the congressional record. I believe it was in 1963. When you look at Skousen's book, Naked, The Naked Communist, etc., there have been warnings shouting. Now, we don't have the time necessarily today, Joel, to go into the McCarthy trials and all the rest. But this is true. You look at Hollywood, you look at the media, look at what's happening now, how the media is controlled, etc., CNN, ABC, MSNBC, and all the other ridiculousness. And sadly, Fox is going a bit more lefty than it should do, but that's true. So why am I saying this? The parallels between my film, the media, it was manipulated. People are sold a story. We have mentioned in the previous program when we're discussing Israel, which is in a PR war as much as a physical war.
Yes.
So the PR, so this is so powerful of how social media, etc., is pushing people. So that's why we see, as we're seeing all these protests around the world. So I made that film, and yeah, I would love to make it as a feature film, because, and it is censored on YouTube, what a surprise, because it's making all the relevant points. The last thing I want to see is the state of the world as it is now. But I know that Almighty God's hand is on this, and I don't say this lightly, the biblical prophecy, the Bible is unfolding, birth pangs, etc. Does that mean that I find it easy at times? No, I don't. But this, we have our faith, and this is what we're holding on to. And that, as David very kindly has paid me that compliment, to turn around and say, we're trying to interpret the signs of the times. We're trying to warn people because there is a lot of fear. So my film, you very kindly said that, 2015, I didn't mean it to be a warning on the one hand. I didn't mean certain things to unfold, but I could see the way things were unfolding. Mm-hmm. And when you see Barack Hussein Obama do an interview going, well, maybe I would like a third term. Maybe I could be in the basement in my jogging pants and I've got my headphones on and I can communicate to whoever's president. Listen, if anyone says, and I'll just end with this at the moment, Joel, if anyone says to you or anyone else say, oh, well, you're just being too political, you're politicizing your faith. Well, let's just say something. Ephesians 6 says we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. There are principalities and powers in the House of Westminster, in Westminster Parliament in the UK. There are principalities and powers manipulating what's going on in the administration. Mm-hmm. In America, and right. Bill Koenig has written a fantastic book where he has correlated every time America has blessed Israel, America has been blessed. Every Amen. Time America has come against Israel, America has not been blessed. And a book like that has not been written for the UK, and I think it needs to. But the correlation is exactly the same. And that's why we have these discussions. So thank you. I made that film. I read Pamela's book. I had steam coming out of my ears and could not believe it. And I was paying attention when I woke up, as we say, in 2010. I was paying attention to what was going on. And then we had the Trump bid for the presidency, for the White House. And at the same time, we had our Brexit yes. debate, and the thing ran parallel because, as Steve Bannon said, as he was leading the then Trump campaign, when we voted to leave the EU, which is a supranational government, which is not representative, is not democratic, when we voted to leave, it inspired the Trump campaign. It inspired you. Now, just say this. We are a democracy. You are not a democracy. You are a constitutional representative republic with alienable rights. And what upsets me is many Americans in the wonderful country that you reside in don't even know that.
They sure don't. They don't know a lot. I think we talked about it in the last show. There's interviews going on all the time where people don't even know who the vice president is or who the chief justice of the United States is, or even deeper, who their own congressman is. Now, in order to save this, video on YouTube. I have to make very, very clear here that what Mark said, I'm not saying whether I agree with it or disagree with it, but that is his opinion, and he is entitled to having an opinion. Okay, but what I want to get across to people is I want people to go and watch the movie, and then make up your own mind. You tell me that it doesn't fit today. Okay, if you can honestly say it doesn't fit today, then I feel sorry for you. You haven't read a newspaper. You haven't watched a news report because it all fits perfectly. Now, David, I know you got a lot of comments, and I'll probably have to put the commentary banner under you too. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let you comment on Mark's movie. Good. I know you've seen it, so I'm going to let you comment on that too.
Yeah, I actually I have one of a series of two of the posters for the movie. It is up for auction. $1 million. The funds will go directly to
$5 million to where we can do the whole thing. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
The funds will go directly to production of the full movie. And once you see it, there's so much in there. It's got a full movie in the 10 minutes already.
Yes, it does.
So imagine what a full movie, the information in it will have. But I wanted to speak to, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and evil people of wickedness in high places. That is evident. That is not going to change because that's written in the word. So what we need to do, we're actually, as the church, we body the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he is the restrainer at this time.
Amen.
So while the ecclesia, the church, is still in the earth, it is our job to restrain the evil that they seek to do. And so here we are with this battle. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Okay. And we are, you know, his kingdom is not of this world. We're in the kingdom of Christ. And so thy kingdom come to earth. So we have a kind of dichotomy in the Christian realm. Hey, do we take over? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, you know, while you're in the world, you'll have all this wickedness that's still going on. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a balance there because I liken it to being an ambassador for a country. You go into that country, and the word ecclesia is the called out ones. And the term at the time of the Bible writing was to set forth a 10 people to influence the culture of that foreign country. Okay, and they'd use, everything was a 10 back then. That's why you see a lot of 10s in the Bible. So the idea was, the when he says, I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Okay, so the gates of hell cannot stop what we are doing. We are not to necessarily take over that government, because that's what Jesus will do when he comes back, but we are to influence and have our own government and influence the world and be ambassadors for Christ, and where we reconcile others into this kingdom. And when we understand that fully, yes, that is an evil kingdom, principalities, powers, and evil wickedness all over the place. We are to reach in there and grab people out of that through wisdom, insight, information, knowledge, and obviously the word is the crux of all of it, and use that as a witnessing tool, just like we're doing now, to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, and I want to break in on you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about a theocracy.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
The only theocracy that I am aware of, and if either one of you guys know about another one, please let me know. But the only one that I really know of is Iran. I mean, I know about dictatorships. There's a lot of those. But a theocracy, something that is built on some type of religion, the only true theocracy is Iran.
Yeah, it would be Persia.
And if, yeah, that's Persia from Ezekiel in the Bible, Book of Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at them, they don't allow Christians to have any voice. As a matter of fact, they're persecuted And of course, Jews would be executed immediately. And one thing that drives me nuts is all these people here in the United States who protest and in support of Iran. And when I'm speaking of them, I'm speaking about people that happen to be gay or transgender. Or mm-hmm. even supporters.
They're going
that.
Over there and saying, "Yay, we support Iran."
Yeah,
and they'll be like, "Thanks."
They would be executed.
Queers for Palestine. Yeah. Queers for Palestine. Mm.
Christians don't have. There is not a country, including the United States, including the UK. There is not a country on earth that is a Christian theocracy. We mm-hmm. don't force anyone to believe in Jesus Christ. Instead, we tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them what is offered, give them the opportunity to actually read the Bible for themselves, not dictate it to them, and allow them to make their own decision. You can't make your own decision in a theocracy like Iran has. And I can report that as a member of the U.S. Press Association, and that's factual information. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, it's factual. I'm sorry to have interrupted you, David. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I just want to wrap it up with this. And then, you know, not only do we have a plethora of accents on the show, we have a plethora of gifts that come together and form a unique bond, if you would, here, and Joel with the radio station, Mark with his political knowledge, and me just looking handsome right here. So
a lot more than that, David.
Oh, all right. So it's really good to bring all the different parts of the body together, because not everybody can beat a spleen. Somebody's got to be a liver. Somebody's got to be a gallbladder and a big toe. So bringing the parts of the body together is real unique in the situation today. And I pass off to Mark.
Well, before Mark takes over again, let me jump in. In the next show, we have a midweek edition. Mark, I don't think you have been a part of that, but in our next show, it's our midweek show, and we are doing a verse by verse. Bible teaching. Now, David is a Bible teacher. He's a Bible scholar. When I first came up with this idea, I said, okay, you know, we'll do Genesis in like a month. You know, we can do it verse by verse. We'll be done in a month. Okay. Well, so far we've done two, right, David? Two.
Yeah, we've gotten through Genesis verse 1 and 2.
Yeah. Okay, and we actually started reading Genesis 1 through 5, and then all of a sudden, like he said, we've made it to, I think, verse 2, and I don't know how long. I mean, I said, well, I guess we're going to, like, wrap it up this week, right? I mean, you know, verse 1 through 5, no. So anyway, we go in depth.
There's more.
Is what I'm saying. We go in depth, and you know, for everybody listening, in the next show we'll be breaking away from this format, and we'll go back to verse by verse study. And I told David in the last show, and I meant it, that I've learned more about those first verses of Genesis in those two shows than I've learned in 65 years on Earth. I mean, it's really that in depth. Wow. You know, it's incredible. So I do invite you guys, be sure to go to www.lastchristian.net. It's www.lastchristian.net, and you'll be able to find those shows there. And I'm really looking forward to that. Now, Mark, you've got like 2 minutes left in the first half.
Well, first of all, I say that, I mean, David, that is David's gifting. His teaching is excellent.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And it is brilliant, because it is great that when we say we're teasing it out. I think we've discussed parliament, we've discussed principalities and powers, and I think, you know, we'll move on into the Parliament of World Religions that I visited in August, which is August 11th to the 14th of this year, and it was happening in Chicago. But the thing is, it's a bit like when another close friend of mine and other people that David knows as well, when they go and visit Burning Man, And people may go, why are they going there? Well, that's where non-Christians go. That's where the enemy is really plotting various things. And I think it's a good idea that we know exactly what is going on. We know what is going on. I do not take it lightly going into these places. We do not have a spirit of power, but of love, of fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind, you know, and we, and God, our God is bigger than all of this. But, no, it'd be good to discuss that, because that verse that says, I think Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. And I don't apologize for the fact that I want to learn things. I want to gain the knowledge.
Right.
We are seeing, as a last sort of seconds, we are seeing blatant, open, cultural Marxism on the streets of America, of the streets in the UK and other countries. They would want a one world government. They would want their collectivist progressiveness. Yes. And what's happening is the left has joined with Islam, and Islam want the caliphate, but they don't want this ism or that ism. So it's going to be very, very interesting how this plays out, because the way this plays out is that is that God is going to be dealing with these principalities.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And now, Mark mentioned that we are in the second half of the show. We're going to be talking about a conference that he attended in Chicago, and this was the 2023 conference. I don't know if you've been to previous ones or not, but we're going to get into that quite a bit, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. And again, I don't know how many of you people listen to us on what stations. I got a pretty good idea of the total count. This is somewhere around 2 million on as far as all the different radio stations that do carry The Last Christian. And we're grateful and we're honored and we're blessed to be able to. I mean, when I first started this show as a podcast about 3 years ago, I never dreamed that I would reach 100 people, to be honest with you. So to have the Lord bless this show the way he has, I don't want to take any credit for it at all. The only thing that I'll take credit for is finding great guests like these two. Well, one host and one guest. I can't cut David short. He's got equal time with me. But anyway, we're blessed that you have joined us, and we hope that you'll stick around with us for the second half of The Last Christian. I think that you're going to find it very, very interesting. So we'll be back right after the break with the second half.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. Tens of thousands of people are packing out the National Mall in Washington, D.C. for a huge March on Israel rally. They plan to show support for the country, demand the release of hostages held by Hamas, and call for efforts to combat anti-Semitism, which has spiked worldwide since the October 7th attack and the subsequent war in Gaza. Ever since Benji Hire reports from Washington.
Participants have flown in from across the country, people of all faiths and backgrounds, to gather in the shadow of the United States Capitol building. This was purposely scheduled around when Congress will be in session, with lawmakers inside considering emergency supplementary aid to Israel. Attendees on the Mall will hear from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, as well as Israeli President Isaac Herzog, and more than 100 family members of Israelis being held captive by Hamas.
US President Joe Biden is travelling to San Francisco for meetings with Pacific Rim countries, including the Chinese President Xi Jinping. Biden is hosting the annual Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum and using it as an opportunity to meet his Chinese counterpart for their first face-to-face meeting in a year. A key US inflation reading suggests price pressures are beginning to ease. October's consumer price index ticked up 3.2% compared to a year ago, but came in below analyst expectations. FSN's William Denslow reports from Wall Street.
Stripping out volatile food and energy prices, October's CPI figure was up at an annual rate of 4%, which is the smallest increase seen in 2 years. CPI is a closely watched inflation tracker, and measures a broad range of goods and services. The Federal Reserve has been gradually raising interest rates in an effort to bring inflation down closer to its target of 2%. Some analysts believe this CPI figure may help persuade the central bank that further rate hikes are not required.
The US Army has overturned the convictions of 110 black soldiers who were charged, and some executed, in the 1917 Houston riots, saying the soldiers were wrongly treated because of their race and not given fair trials. Ever since, Tony Waterman has more.
Known as Buffalo Soldiers, the men arrived in Texas at the beginning of World War I. Many were from the North and not used to segregation. After months of mounting racial tensions and the violent beating of two of the soldiers, clashes erupted. 19 people were killed. The Army convicted 110 soldiers, 19 of whom were executed, most just a day after the verdicts came down. The Army has now revised their military records, saying they served honorably and their families could become eligible for compensation.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to The Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas. And joining me there on the left-hand side of your screen, my co-host, Mr. David Paxton, Bible teacher and Bible scholar. And believe me, he knows his stuff. And then there in the middle, we got a Christian filmmaker, producer extraordinaire, Mr. Mark Sutherland. And Mark, we talked a little bit, or we talked a lot actually in the first half of the show about your movie. And again, I really encourage people to go to www.lastchristian.net if you're not seeing this on the video, because there you'll be able to get the links and be able to go to it. Or, of course, you can go to Mark's website. And Mark, if you don't mind, tell people the name of your website. And then we're going to talk about the conference that you attended in Chicago.
No worries. It's marksutherland.org, and you can find Between Lambs and Lions on YouTube. There is a link on my website to it, but you can find it on YouTube. But yeah, no, thank you. We need to get into the Parliament of World Religions, my brother. We need to get into that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just being honest with you, I have not watched the conference. I told you that. I wasn't aware of it until the first show, and just haven't had time to look at it since. But I will. You can guarantee yourself that, because if it's anything like the movie, it's going to be something that I'm going to watch from beginning to end, and I mean all the way through the credits. So I'm going to put the screen up here. The 2023 Chicago conference there. And from there, sir, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of turn it over to you, and you can tell us all about it.
It's not something that you really want to watch. You need to be informed of it. The Parliament of World Religions, this is in fact the manual from it.
Okay.
It's about 325 pages long. Or maybe 305. But what I am going to say, that this parliament is about undermining the United States of America. Mm-hmm. It's about undermining national governments. The first parliament was 1893. My dear friend Carl Tigrib, who's someone you need to get on the show as well, who wrote a book called Game of Gods. And David knows Carl as well. Now, I was at the Parliament with Carl and then 9 other Christians. When I have said to Americans, do you know about the Parliament of World Religions? They've gone, no, what's that? Well, the first Parliament was in 1893. If I then say to you that that Parliament, that body of meeting in 1893, and the second Parliament was in 1993, is where Eastern religions came into America. Mm-hmm. Begin to push Christianity out the way, right, culturally undermining things. Now, at home within Victorian times, even though we'd had this massive outpouring of Christianity, our empire took Christianity around the world. But in the late Victorian times, people then started to get into spiritualism, attend seances and stuff like that. Now, this parliament has those kind of influences. It's where it's like NGO Central. If you want to know where all the nutbags who are anti-oil are, they are at this parliament. If you want to know where all the nutbags who sadly are into the occult and where some of the top witches in America attend, they are at this parliament. The occult practice is going on. And people would say to me, as they have done, well, why are you there, Mark? Well, I went along. I had the opportunity to go to investigate. There were other Christians there going along to evangelize. If Christians went to this event by the busload, things would be changing. We would be praying against this stuff. We would be informed. So the Parliament of World Religions is leading to a one world religion. The only religion they do not, or the faith they don't want to hear about, is the faith that we believe in.
Let me stop you there for just a second, because here in the United States, I don't know when it started in the UK, because I know at one time it was a Christian area, right? But here in the United States, you can kind of go back to the early 1960s. And unfortunately, I was just a little kid back in the early 1960s. But at some point there, we took God out of schools. And that was the beginning of the end, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Everything has gone straight down the tubes ever since. But one thing that I remember very much, I absolutely loved, and this is, again, before my BC days, you know, to define that again for people who haven't heard me use that term, BC means before Christ. So this is my before Christ days. I absolutely adored Muhammad Ali. Okay, I thought he was like the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he was, to my mind, and maybe somebody out there will correct me on this, but to my mind, it was the first time I ever really heard Muslim, at all. Nothing about Islam. I didn't know what the heck it was. I really didn't. But he went from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, and it caused a big furor. And again, the Islamic faith was really nothing here. I mean, you had the, Malcolm X, and there was some other guy, I don't remember his name, but anyway, they were it was such a minority that nobody paid any attention to them. They just thought it was kind of an aggravation, you know? And now it's like, everybody wants to say, Islam is so misunderstood. Well, I don't misunderstand it at all. Again, I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association, so I can say this factually, that if you look at Islam and you look at the Quran, find Jerusalem in it just once. Find the word Jerusalem in the Quran just one time. And then look at the Bible and count how many hundreds of times you find Jerusalem in the Bible. And then you tell me who the true religion is if you truly believe in God. And another thing, and this again is factual, again, I report this as a member of the U.S. Press Association. When they say Allah Akbar, do you know what that means? It doesn't mean God is great. It means Allah is greater. That's what it actually means. So they're saying that Allah is greater than God, or that Islam is greater than Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism or Scientology or anything else that you want to pull up, okay? And I'm sorry, but that's not factual. Okay. Now, I'm sorry to have interrupted you. I hope I didn't.
Not at all, because this is really, really important. Because I need to read this out. So on page 205 of this manual, right, of this manual, okay, I've got all loads of bits and pieces where I know where certain seminars are. There's a seminar Rise of White Christian Nationalism, Threats to U.S. Democracy. That is in there, okay? There is loads of other. Sacred Water in a Climate Changed Era. Seven Lessons on Human Rights from the Life of Prophet Muhammad. Well, that'd be quite an interesting one, I would have thought. Now, Religious Harmony and Social Change Leading to Prosperity. Okay. All right. Okay. That's quite nice. Peace Through Nonviolence, Gandhi and Other Methods. But let's just come back to this. Rise of White Christian Nationalism and Threats to Democracy. Well, a few months ago, Biden gave a speech behind his lectern, and there he was, channeling, not that we do that, but his best Emperor Palpatine impersonation. And he had two Marines, you know, lit in red, and it was all black and all this. And then he's going, the biggest threat is, you know, homegrown domestic terrorism and basically white people and all this kind of nonsense hitting at this. This whole thing of what we call victimhood, intersectionality and all that. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a big 100-year gap between the first parliament and the second parliament. Mm-hmm. I then sat in a seminar, which I then recorded. It's supposed to be under Chatham House rules, but myself and Carl ignored that. We recorded it. Now, I sat behind, and I do apologize because I'm having so many I can't think of the name moments.
That's okay.
David Saperstein. He was Obama's religious advisor or ambassador to the world. Jewish gentleman, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Now, that was an interesting discussion. Where it's this whole thing of getting the world within one place. Now, the other horrifying thing was there, as we would call ourselves Bible-believing Christians.
Right.
Now, you've touched on certain things culturally. There's a gentleman there called Richard Rohr. It's all New Age. And there he was leading a seminar on, with other three others, on how you could take basically magic mushrooms and such like and have an outer body experience by taking some chemical and then finding God. And then you had some woman connected with Southern Baptist Association going on about this claptrap as well. Well, I have to tell you, that if my children were small and any of these came to me or to my kids trying to push this, these people would not be standing up. They would be flat on their back. Mm-hmm. The fact that Richard Rohr is a name that people need to know. They are pushing this kind of stuff back into, you know, this is what they want to do. I mean, I've never heard so much, this is a family show, rubbish in all my life, but this is being pushed. The only faith, our faith, the only way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Amen. That is not talked about. They do not want Bible-believing Christians. But there is an ethos, this whole thing of undermining nation states. Now, the Baha'i faith, I'm not an expert on it, Carl is very much involved in this because they have a one world government eschatology. Mm-hmm. And we need to know this stuff. If I could collect a dime for every American that has said to me, I didn't know the Parliament of World Religions existed, I would have made between lambs and lions over the last few months by making $5 million.
There you go.
So the thing is, in 2018, friends of mine went to the mutual friends of David and I went to the Parliament of World Religions. And because this is a political statement, this is my opinion, because you had Donald Trump as the president of the United States, there were people tearing, you know, literally like virtually tearing their clothes apart in utter disgust, shaking their heads, being very angry about this, that this man is the President of the United States. You had people like Jim Wallace there from the Sojourners community in Washington, D.C. These are social gospel Marxist lefties. That is their view of the world. That's how they see it. Now, this has completely and utterly invaded the church. But as we touched on another show, this is where it's in, this ideology has then invaded universities. So it's like one big loving. And I'll say this, on the Monday, on the 11th, I walked into a seminar held by two people who are supposed to be in the in media and trying to make sure that falsehoods aren't put into the media. And I was in this seminar, and within 3 minutes, one gentleman turned around and said, well, the nearest person I think who is the Antichrist on earth right now is Donald Trump. And I'm going, where am I? Where am I? And then in another seminar, where it's, some people may disagree, where it was all about, you know, Putin bad, Zelensky and all this,
right.
And et cetera. And I stick my hand up and say, okay, fine. But if NATO promised not to expand, from 1991, you know, the wall comes down in 1989, the USSR in a very short time breaks up. We have Gorbachev, Glasnost. Gorbachev is not the person that people thought he is. He was a globalist. Right. If we look at principalities and powers, we look how the principality of communism moved from the USSR and has come into the West. In 1990, I think, Gorbachev, by a digital message, spoke at a conference in Tennessee. In 1991, he actually came over to America, met Senior Bush, then Herbert Walker Bush. Yes, my grandfather sells oil to Hitler. Did I say that on your program? Yes, I did. People go and do the research. The key that hey, the
if
key
it's factual,
thing is this,
I'll stick behind it. If it's factual, a fact, yeah, okay.
It's a fact. You can look in your court records and when he was.
I'm going to jump in on you for 1 second to make another point that you actually mentioned, and that is the Ukraine, the Soviet Union, and the United States. If you look back at when the wall actually came down. And again, I report this as a member of the U.S. Press Association. This is factual. You can look it up. Okay. There was an agreement made by the Reagan administration and the Soviet Union that the Ukraine would not become a member of NATO. That Absolutely. Is a fact. And that is the reason that when Zelensky began getting really comfortable with NATO and NATO was looking to expand in different areas, that Putin decided, okay, you're breaking the agreement. You're going to make this country a NATO country, and they're on our border, and they can hurt us. So before they have that opportunity, we're going to take them out. That's factual. Okay. Now, again, you're not going to hear that in the mainstream media, but if you look it up, you will find it. It is an agreement that was made.
We went back on what's called the Minsk Agreement around about 2014. We went back on that. Correct. And of course, we'd promised not to expand. And then what we did, we put the reason why Putin went into Georgia, I think, in 2009, was NATO were putting Georgia on a special list, which was to then draw up plans to then bring Georgia into NATO.
Right.
They were on about doing that with the Ukraine as well. So, I mean, there are certain other complications, but Georgia, there was a war lasted 5 or 6 days. Putin then put that down because of that reason. We went back on, we promised not to expand, and we have. I mean, the North Atlantic, which is alliance treaty, which is NATO.
Right.
The book, a book written in 1946, which is Union with Britain Now by Strait, I believe, is to my left. they then talk about this, laying the foundations of NATO. Right. Because the key thing is, the enemy has got his plans going on, pushing for a one world government as well. Of course, the United Nations is at the center of that. And the other thing I will say, just at this point, the most sort of policies that come against Israel, as in saying, no, we're not happy with you, we're not happy with you as a country, mm-hmm. the UN does that to Israel. It has the highest record of being pulled up by the UN. It's okay, ridiculous.
Now, because of time and because David hasn't said a word yet, you're fine. Everything that you're saying is great. I'm loving having you on, and I appreciate you coming on the program.
You can let them roll.
Well, I'm not letting you off the hook because you're a co-host, okay? And I'm not letting you off the hook. So instead of that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to you two, and I'm going to take a break, okay? So you guys are up, not me. Go ahead.
David, this is important in regard to NATO and then what has then expanded. Now, I'll just quickly say this, because the Parliament of World Religions, when we have constantly talked about principalities and powers, the fact mm-hmm. that people don't even know that this has existed, and our dear friend Carl Tigrib has attended this a number of times. And also there's a link here with the whole COP, you know, climate change nonsense policy mm-hmm. that's going on. Now, I'll tell you about one seminar. I went to one seminar where Al Gore's daughter, Karen, was there. And I thought, I'll just go along just to sit in front of her and say, I've seen her. At one point, Carl nudged me and said, Mark, the woman who's just walked in is one of the most powerful witches of North America. She's just walked in. I went, excuse me? So this witch walks in to a discussion about stop oil and disinvesting from the oil industry. There is Karine Gore sitting there. There's some other bloke who has been was chairing this meeting. And in other words, what I'm trying to say is, look at the tie-up between the occult pushing getting rid of oil, pushing getting rid of cheap energy, because it's about control, pushing the green agenda. And the whole green agenda, historically as well, we know it's Gaia, but in recent years, coming from the Nazis were into that. So that is what was then shocking. And it's like NGO, non-government organization, or central. And there was another seminar, you will laugh at this, where they had then COP26 in Egypt, I think. And last time, need to get that fact right. And there they are. And they're going, well, we're complaining. We just thought it was fairly successful, but we are complaining about the fact that we didn't have wonderful internet. And we also thought that people need to know how other people are suffering. So we had these rooms that were air conditioning, and we're really annoyed that there was air conditioning going on. And then, of course, the other thing, the advertising, the fact that they had Coca-Cola there. I think it was Pepsi, actually, and all this. I could not believe the nonsense that was coming out of these people's mouths, because a bit like Biden, when he's turning around and going, right, what we need to do is to cut down on the air conditioning fans that people have in their homes. I know how hot it can get in New York. I also know how hot it can get in Texas, Colorado, Arizona, you know, etc. It's desert. And Biden wants to get rid of fans, and these people are complaining that there's too much air conditioning and people need to feel how tough it is. And then on the other hand, they're going, well, our internet was really bad and it wouldn't connect. And I don't know about you, David, but there is a word and a substance that goes through that. Isn't it called electricity? And don't they need that to keep cool or to use the internet?
Yep,
or am I just making this up?
Yeah, no, you're not just making it up. I there's this new device that completely eliminates carbon from the atmosphere, and the cool thing about it is it actually grows on its own. It's called a tree. So if you put more trees out there, it would solve all these carbon problems because they eat that. So there's my fix for it. But it again, it's the devil. And we need not be surprised at this, because the devil cannot come out into the light because he'll be exposed. So he does all these things in secret and in stealth. And he always comes with, those alluring questions. Did God really say that? You know, and it causing that doubt. And then all these people, they get into their witchcraft and all these other things. And from there, I see, again, it's encouraging on the flip side of this, because it means that the devil knows his time is short. Okay, so he's ramping up the game. And so just by the very fact that he is ramping up his game, we know that the appearance of Christ is even that much closer. So it's really exciting on the one side, but on the other side, again, we got to pull people out of that darkness. And that's why we were here, to occupy until he comes and reconcile others unto Christ. So what you're doing is immensely important, as exposing the darkness here. And even though Frank Peretti wrote some wonderful books, they don't even touch the depth at what you're touching here with the reality of it. When you and Carl and Brian and Audrey, you go to these events, it's just saying, hey, we're not afraid to go in there and to expose the darkness. And it's greatly appreciated, and everybody needs to pay attention. You really do. If
guys, believe it or not, we're getting down here to the end. David, you got a pass today, is the way I'll look at it. But anyway, we have had a great conversation, and I do really encourage everybody to go and take a really good look at what Mark does. And again, I'm going to put his web address up here. Well, I put the wrong thing in. I'm good at that, by the way. I'm really good at that. Anyway, it's MarkSutherland.org, all together, MarkSutherland.org. And I do encourage you guys to go and take a look at it. He's got a lot of great stuff there, and I strongly encourage you to view the film.
You can also find me on Twitter under the Sutherland Report.
Okay.
And I've got to get people as guests on, but I starting to launch my podcast, which is the Sutherland Report. Cool. So people in the future can find me on there.
Well, I want to have you back. I want to have you back on the show, because we've honestly just touched it. Really. And I hate the fact we're out of time. I wish we had more time. I really do.
I'd be delighted to come back. Thank you.
Yes. Anytime. And I appreciate David finding you for me. You two have been friends for quite a while, and I'm delighted to have both of you. I really am. It's awesome. I do want to encourage everybody again. Please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so. Mm-hmm. Unlike other religions, it's totally free. You can't buy it. Okay, and all you've got to do is say that prayer of salvation. Just ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins. Tell him that you know Jesus died for you on the cross. He spent 3 days in the tomb, and he rose again, just like he said he would. Remember, the day of the rapture is, well, it could happen anytime. That's what God says, and you better be ready, because you're making a choice of eternity, and eternity is a very long time. You better make the right choice. Until next time, and by the way, next time is going to be all verse by verse. We're back to Genesis between David and myself. Until then, good night, and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.